Right. So I would rather grind on a podcast or any of that crap any day of the week, because I feel like that doesn't take 30 years to see some benefit from that. And even if it's not monetary, like, it doesn't have to be monetary, even though, yeah, obviously I would like money. That's cool. But, like, it could be a lot of – it could be a number – I've more networking, knowing more people, being able to be behind different things, like causes and companies and whatever else. You know what I mean? I think it would be so cool to be, like, a guy that knows people that could – that I could help out, and then I could also – let them speak freely and talk about what their thing is. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I'm at with it. And that's kind of one reason why I decided, like, maybe I shouldn't just do finance. But because you just get a certain type of person with finance, you know? And so maybe I want to get all different types. But then again, you're right on the niche thing. So anyway, that's it. I just want to be able to expand the reach.
What's up, everybody? This is the toastiest podcast you'll ever hear, and that's why I call it the Toasty Podcast. Welcome to every topic you've ever wanted to hear about, even if you just didn't know it yet. Let's get toasty. Today I'm in the studio with Maxwell Simmons. He wants to talk about net worth. Very smart guy. We talk a lot. We haven't hung out that much, but I still consider him one of my good friends. You can find him on YouTube and other places. I'll have the links in my show notes. Let's get to it.
My thing is that I guess I want to know what more you want to talk about with net worth, you know? Like what all is there that you really just want to get out there, I guess.
Well, I'm not going to lie. There is more. The thing about net worth is, like, as we touched on, it's based on the market value, right? Mm-hmm. So this, what you're talking about is someone's, like, market value or someone's ownership of something times its market value, right? And then the market value is subject to all sorts of different things. You know, sentiment or just the economics of trade or things like the coronavirus, you know, just the market as a whole.
Yeah.
So yeah, his net worth could be fluctuating like crazy. And then say most people, from what I gather, their issue is the accumulation of wealth. You know, that this guy has too much money that he could ever spend in his whole life, right? Mm-hmm. So why should he have that money? Like, why is he avoiding paying taxes when he already has too much money that he could ever functionally do anything with other than build more companies, right? Which I think most people have short sight there. Like, this man is trying to launch a space company with this money, you know?
Right.
So in all honesty, he's developing things that could potentially take us off this planet and that NASA kind of relies on and these other space companies kind of rely on. And I think they really lose sight of it there. But just to follow their logic, this man has too much money, right? If we could take his money and give it to people in need, they would have more money and there wouldn't be poverty, right? That's the moral reasoning that I get from them. The problem is, this man has no money.
Like we talked about, yeah.
You can't take this money and move it because this is based on a figure of what a percentage of this company is worth. So you'd have to do like one of two things. You'd have to liquidate the ownership, whatever assets or equity he owns in this company, right? You'd either have to A, liquidate it, or directly give that to the people in need. But with the people in need, you're talking about people who don't have any use for a percentage of Amazon. You know, they wouldn't know what to do with it. You can't eat a share of Amazon, right?
Yeah.
So that one's off the table. they're not going to get equity in Amazon, you know, because the dividends that they're going to get off that, it's nothing. It's not even worth talking about. So you'd have to liquidate these shares, right? So you take 16% of Amazon and you try to sell it at market price. The first thing that happens if you try to sell 16% of Amazon at market price is that whole stock is now collapsing because you're trying to sell too much. Market price, supply and demand.
Right.
Now your market price, you've just taken that the worth of this asset and divided it probably by, you know, 4. You'd be lucky to get 20% of its value kind of thing.
Well, and really, like, I don't even know if you can't just go ahead and say, I'm going to sell 16%, click.
Yes.
That doesn't even work. You can't do that. It's illegal. So the SEC would be all over it saying, you know, we have to do it this way and you can't, you know.
Yeah, you're about to break the S&P 500. Right. Exactly. I mean, that's even further. But just the economics of it don't work out to a point where you could get this money. Unless you sold it. And the only way you can sell it is to sell it to someone bigger than Jeff Bezos.
Right.
So you have to either sell it as a whole in some sort of transaction, and then your problem just moved up the food chain. Or you have to break it up and sell it at a lower rate and destroy the price of Amazon and sell it to a whole bunch of other people. And you're just spreading the wealth between the wealthy. You know, you're not taking the wealth from Jeff Bezos and giving it to people in need. There's no Robin Hood here. It's only moving wealth, or it's only moving wealth in quotation marks, you know, between different wealthy people who can afford it.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, like I said, so there, yeah, it would be deeper to go into that, but economically, no, it doesn't make any sense. People need to understand that because, like, it's not going to help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't help anybody that Jeff Bezos got rid of his 16% of Amazon and gave it to the world. It doesn't. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Because if he gave it to anybody that, you know, knows anything about stocks or anything about investing, I don't know. I feel like it'd be a really different situation. But that wouldn't happen, right? Because you're just giving it to someone else that's, I wouldn't say well off, but also they're not bad off. You know what I mean?
If you have the free time to worry about finances like that, and to be actively involved in your portfolio, you're not struggling to eat.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Right. And it's essentially what people are asking for or complaining about is that he wouldn't give it to people that struggle to eat.
Yeah. He can't directly do that. He would have to start taking money against it and then give. And I guess instead of buying planes, Amazon would need to, you know, donate it to charities or stuff like that. But then people are just going to get frustrated because he's taking a tax write-off on these charities, you know, which is exactly what a CPA would tell him to do.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And they'd be like, how the heck? Yeah, that's stupid. And the thing is that most people that I've talked to that might say something like that or complain that he doesn't give the money away or whatever aren't usually the ones struggling to eat. They're usually ones that I don't know where they're at, actually. And on where are they at in the, you know, economic spectrum? Because the ones that struggle to eat, I don't think they're worried about Jeff Bezos.
No.
Like, honestly, they're not. They can't be. Their livelihood is always on the line, regardless of what Jeff Bezos is doing, you know?
Right.
I gotta open my door. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, she was like whining, so I was like, okay, fine, let's see. I guess she wanted water. I don't know.
No, I mean, I guess you, yeah. If you're struggling to eat, you've got bigger things to worry about than Bezos.
Yeah, and like I said before, like if you did that, you know, you're breaking the SEC. It's not going to work. Wouldn't work anyway. But where is another place – you know what? Screw it. We're just doing it, okay? And I said I'm getting off the phone or whatever the heck. Like, how much time do you have, you know?
I'm not doing anything today,
okay,
man.
Okay, cool. Dude, so you have, like, other options, you know? Are there other options? You don't have to go and take Jeff Bezos' money. What if we, cut spending somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I guess against how grossly overexpanded the government is, and like how many different programs it has, and how like the bureaucratic layers of like middle management, you know, like the United States government is kind of just like a shit show of middle management, in the sense that every layer has these different managers, and then you got to pay these managers, and these managers do their job to justify their wage, and all their job is to manage other people that do like the actual work, as far as I'm concerned. Might be an ignorant statement, but from what I see, it's kind of how everything kind of runs. And then you have programs that are in place that aren't functioning properly, and it's frustrating people that they're not functioning properly. But then all of the people being paid to run these programs are adequately compensated because they're doing a job. You know, they deserve to be paid fairly. When right. It would almost be easier just to give the money to the people and not deal with all of the bureaucratic bullshit associated with it. You know what I mean? And that's really where something like UBI comes in.
Yeah, so not even have the unemployment, not even have the welfare, just give them the money. Just give them the money.
Right.
And have a form they fill out, and maybe have a little office where the girls take that form and make sure it's legitimate, you know?
Yeah.
The girls, why did I say that? The girls and guys that work there.
That's not PC, dude.
Yeah, the people that work there.
Better yet, just automate it.
Just automate it.
Have it
man.
Be an online form, and then one person makes sure that they're all good, and then they all are automatic. And then
now that's PC.
You've taken all of your systems that really weren't functioning how you designed them to, and then just gotten rid of them for a much more simple system. And then the difference in cost, you can pass along to the people who actually need it. That's how I see it, you know. Without increasing the tax burden, you could potentially generate a better return to the people who need it.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about UBI on my first podcast a little bit, you know, just talking about Andrew Yang when he was running and everything, his system. But I didn't know how many UBI things there were. Now, the other thing is...
What do you mean by that?
Well, because there's a universal basic income there, then there's other like types of that income, basic income. It's maybe not called universal basic income, but like he had like a list, right, on his website. I'm actually going to try to pull it up. Hold on. But he basically is like talking about universal basic income and the other types of income like it. Basically, okay. Government supplied income, right?
Okay.
Any government supplied income. And it was... how it works and why universal basic income would work better. But I think there were some stipulations that make it that way. You know, it was like, we don't give it to everyone. You know, Andrew Yang's thing was, if you already have unemployment or if you already have welfare, it takes down on how much you get, that whole thing.
Yes.
And so there's other incomes out there that aren't like that. Like I think Sweden has tried one that was straight, just here's your income, no matter what, you get it, period. And it's pretty clear why that wouldn't work, you know, but I mean, cause you're giving money to people that already have this government stuff and you're going to, again, overextend.
It wouldn't work here because we already have these systems, or it wouldn't work in
other nations. Sorry. It wouldn't work here because we already have these systems in place. So they're just getting money on top of money, you know?
Yes. That's basically what I'm saying. You can't have both.
Right.
You know, you'd have to have one, you know, yeah. And that would be the way that it would actually work. But that is a huge undertaking to just eliminate that.
Right.
Like that. And not to mention it's kind of terrible in the aspect of you're talking about eliminating a lot of government jobs. Right. And then your only thing that you can say is sorry, but here's a check every month, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Those jobs all have to be – someone else has to have them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what – the other thing about the income thing, though, I'm throwing it off, obviously. But the I heard a lot of people using their income for other things, like wise things. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I invested, or I did this, or I did that. So in turn, couldn't that also, you know, help the economy overcome people not having jobs, something like that? Maybe.
Right. So you're saying if someone already has enough money to live off and this universal basic income is still being given to them.
Right. It's still, and it's, yeah, exactly. And you're feeding it back into the economy anyway.
Right.
I think at some point, I think there's some way that that could work even for the people that obviously just lost their job because now there's no government system running it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that in turn, you know, would build a business, right? Somehow.
Yes.
One guy would be like, oh, heck yeah, I have more money than I thought I would. Business built. Jobs made, you know?
Yeah, you're talking about like bottom up.
Right. Bottom up economics. And that's what I'm getting at is I think actually it could work, I guess. And then you'd have the Jeff Bezoses of the world creating these businesses. Now, we'd have the same exact argument then that we've had before about people, you know, thinking that they have too much money and net worth, blah, 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 whatever the hell. They need to give it to the poor. I think it wouldn't. I don't think universal basic income would fix that. That's a society problem.
But couldn't it fix it in the sense that if everybody was getting enough money to live off, you wouldn't have these issues of starvation and just intense poverty?
No, no, no. You wouldn't. You may not have the actual issue, but what you'll have is something else in place of it. I feel like.
Just inequality?
Maybe inequality. Maybe, yeah, exactly. It could be anything, but it would be something else that's brought to light that and maybe it is a problem. So that may not be a bad thing. It may be something that ends up being, well, let's fix all the problems of the world. But just like we've said before, not me and you, politicians have said before, democracy is not a perfect system, but there's nothing really more perfect than that. Maybe there is. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And it'd be that
nothing
kind of thing.
Yet.
Right, and universal income is maybe it's a good system, but it's not perfect, and there's not really a perfect system, I don't think.
As long as it's better than your current system, I think it's worth pursuing. You know, that's just kind of how humans do anything.
Right. Yeah, it's an entrepreneurial, like capitalistic mindset. We need to keep going, keep moving forward, progressing.
Yeah, the difference between capitalistic mindset and this would be more of.
Monetary gain. There's no monetary gain. We're doing it for progressing society. So you're right. It's not capitalistic.
Really. But it is the ideology of progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're sharing that with the capitalistic where like the market kind of runs it and then you are always trying to make it better. You're always trying to optimize the system. But instead of trying to optimize the system for money or generating more revenue or sales, you're trying to optimize the system for just the good of humanity.
Right.
So I think that's where one thing that people get caught up with is everybody loves capitalism and it's great, but sometimes it does leave people behind. So how do you correct for that without inflating a government to the size where it's just not functional and what is it called? Just in this giant stalemate all the time.
All right, Toasters, it's that time again. I don't often get the chance to tell you how I got started, and honestly, I don't want to bore you with the entire story. Actually, if you want that, you can check out my website at skyfi.co. One of the main things that made it super easy to get into podcasting for me, though, is Blueberry. Blueberry is absolutely one of the best podcast hosting services around, and it's priced cheaper than most of them, even Podbean. The fact is, a host is normally just a host. But Blueberry is more than that because they created a stellar WordPress plugin that makes it as simple as writing a blog post to upload and distribute your latest and greatest episodes. How awesome is that? I don't want to ruin the recipe, so I won't go too far into the details, but I think you get it. If you've ever wanted to get yourself out there and start podcasting or creating new exciting content, now's the time. The hardest part is actually starting, and trust me, I get that. Hit me up with any questions you might have on podcasting at my email listed in the show notes. Peace, love, and podcasting. Now, back to the show.
See, and like, is it necessary? You know what I mean? Like, for everyone that gets left behind, I don't know if it's necessary to have to, you know, pull everyone with you if you're that capitalistic guy or you're doing that, you know?
drag them kicking and screaming kind of thing.
I guess, yeah. And that's
sometimes it can be like that, yeah.
Let's pretend that Jeff Bezos, with all of his net worth, you know, decides he's going to create a nonprofit or some crap, whatever. And he creates it so that it brings those people up, you know. There's no specifications here. There's no technicality. I'm just saying, brings them up from behind and everything else. I feel like they would still say, Jeff Bezos, you know, you didn't do anything for us. Because that's the way he would have to create it. He can't just hand out money. We've already talked about that. He can't just hand out money. People that are actually wealthy with tons of capital, sure. People that are wealthy in terms of they have a net worth because they own a freaking business, which might actually be all people that you'd consider wealthy anyway.
Yep.
He can't do that. So he would have to create a nonprofit off of a branch of Amazon, and it would have to be, we're a nonprofit that brings the people up from the behind, I guess. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah.
And they would be like, well, you're still not giving me money.
Like Amazon housing projects or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And I guarantee you no one would hear about it. You know, it wouldn't be all over the news. It wouldn't be in all these articles blaming him for all of his money. And it might be the small niche thing that he does, and no one would even hear about it. And then they would still probably say, you didn't give me money, you know?
Look, and I think that's a point you almost touched earlier, is that you're going to move the problem, you know?
Yeah.
There's always going to be a problem. But, you know, if you look back 100 years ago, the problem might have been polio or something, you know? And then, okay, we took care of polio. Now we have other problems. And it just becomes increasingly more first world problems as opposed to anything else. And it's important to, I guess, distinguish between the situation people are in versus the situation people want to be in. So let's say we have an ideal of how people should live, and we say, well, look at these people living like this. They shouldn't have to live like that. But as long as they're happy, they should be able to live like that. We just need to make sure that people are not being forced to live in a way that they shouldn't have to be forced to live. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And see, it's interesting because I think that the way capitalism was supposed to work, it was supposed to be like that. Everyone has this opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to go and look and see where research where it does not work. Like, where does someone not have the opportunity at all to increase, you know, to go get better, to progress, right, in society, or level up their economic standpoint? And I guess I can't say, right, because the way I was raised and everything else, the way I grew up is different. So is that what it boils down to, you know? Like, where
– Yeah.
That's, you're put in a place where you just can't? I don't know.
That's where I was actually going to go with it, is that – everything that you are taught as you grow up kind of shapes the way you interact with the world, and then your experiences, and then your opportunities based on your socioeconomic status, right, will change the avenue that your whole life takes, you know? So let's say, I guess the main issue where you would be failing someone is if you're not providing them with equal education as everyone else, which I don't think anyone will argue is obviously an issue. You know,
right.
We definitely have instances of poorer neighborhoods or lower socioeconomic areas not getting the same level of education as higher levels of wealth in a certain area. Like, I live in Collin County, which is, as far as I know, still the wealthiest county in this country. So if I wanted my kids to go to school, I would send them to a Collin County school, you know, somewhere
it,
in.
Wait, hold on. What is it? It actually is?
As far as I last knew, yeah. Frisco is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And then Collin County, I believe, is still the wealthiest.
Wow.
You'd have to, I guess the only person or the only area you could compare it to is maybe New York, and you'd have to see. But that is the last statistic I heard on it. So if you wanted to get a good school it's not very difficult based on our system to realize, okay, well, I just need to go where the money is.
Right.
Because going to these like inner city schools, they're not going to get the same access to education. And a lot of it comes down to money in the sense of dollars per student.
Right.
So if you look at how much money is being spent on a student in Dallas ISD versus let's say Frisco ISD, it's going to be a surprising difference. And then you say, well, it's kind of no wonder that you have this kind of revolving door of upper class, usually white kids going to these Ivy League schools because they've been groomed to it. They've been groomed for it. And then they get in because they understood what it took to get in. They were taught what it took to get in, and their parents instilled the values in them, ideally, that would push them towards a successful adult life.
That's my next thing.
Okay. Yeah. But those kids grow up to be parents of their own kids.
Right.
And then it continues, and you just have this stratification.
That's it. And I don't think there's not a government agency, there's not a nonprofit, there's nothing like that that could actually change all of parenting. That just won't happen. And so I wonder if you're ever going to – I'm not trying to say, oh, well, we're not going to win this, so just, you know, quit while we're ahead. I'm saying, is it possible to even get that far, you know, to have parents all change the way they teach their kids things? You know what I mean?
Well, it's the systems in place that dictate why it is the way it is. And then you have issues like gerrymandering to draw these lines and such, but that's not really worth getting into right now. It's more, there's not a good way to increase the amount of money available to the lower income schools without really taking it from higher income schools. So you're not going to have a way of equaling it out at the highest extent. You're going to find the average of all the districts, and then you're going to give them that amount. And then right. you have an equal amount of money available to all the districts.
Right. Right. That's true. And that is definitely the state, you know, state's issue there.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily fix anything either.
Right.
You'll probably just see an increase in private education.
Yeah.
It's a start, though. It's a start. And
well,
I mean,
it is. I just think everything's going to be a start, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this all started because we're trying to fix the complaint about net worth people, rich people that, you know, quote unquote rich people that have tons of wealth, you know. But they're right. not, I mean, I, like I said, I don't think even if they, I don't know. There's no way for them to show anything for people to understand it. I feel like. So it seems like.
For them to change their mind on it.
Yeah. Like I
guess it would be you need to address the lack of taxes Amazon pays. I don't really have anything against that. Obviously they have some of the best CPAs that they can have, and they get around a lot of the tax load that ideally they should be paying based on how much money is generated. But you also have to realize that Amazon doesn't really make any money. You know? Amazon right. loses money. It's just mm-hmm. worth a certain amount. But again, that comes back to the only thing you can do as an individual to dictate the way the country moves in regards to private business is choose to or not to use certain businesses.
That's it.
You know, in my mind, it really boils down to, if I don't personally like what this company is doing, this private company is doing, my only option is to not participate in funding that company. If you're sitting there and buying Amazon 24/7, you can't complain that the workers aren't being treated fairly.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing for anything. If you're worried about the orangutans or the wildlife in the ocean, you can't refuse to recycle and then eat raw tuna all day long. you know, because clearly you're only paying lip service to the subject.
And that comes back to another subject of, I think, a lot of, including this podcast, you know, lip service. I think that a lot of people now in our generation, maybe it is our generation, maybe it's the generation after us or before us, it doesn't really matter, but the newest woke generation is a huge lip service. Like, it's, you use media for the lip service.
Well, it comes back to everything. Like, everything is a matter of just, if people are educated to make good decisions and whatever subject they're making decisions on, they're going to try and make the best decision, you know? So whenever I see something where I say, you know, that doesn't seem like a good decision, or it seems like that's the wrong decision, I usually just have to take a step back and say, I wonder why they don't, either I don't understand what they understand, or they don't understand what my perspective on whatever I'm looking at or whatever we're speaking about. Because nobody goes and actively tries to make bad decisions, as far as I'm concerned. You know? So when people suggest things that I say, well, I don't think you realize how complicated that would be, or if we were trying to take money from Jeff Bezos, how that would actually work.
Right.
I have to assume it's because they're ignorant of the difference between net worth or like the actual liquid assets or liquid capital that he is supposed to have. You know, we can't redistribute it. Or how would we redistribute it? Who would be in charge of it? Like, all that sort of thing. It's kind of short-sighted in that sense. And I'm sure if you sat down and you had a conversation with someone saying about this, or someone talking about this in that way, that they would see your perspective, and then they'd say, well, then we need to change the system. And then you would just be in agreement at that point. You'd say, yes, the system is flawed. Let's address that. Let's right. not try to take money from Bezos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, getting off of Amazon too, like Google, you know, is a very, seems to be a kind of left company, but they're still a company. Like, companies in themselves, in of themselves right now, are going to have the same ideas as far as getting around taxes and keeping the company going and progressing the company monetary value. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't, and I don't know if you can get around that today. There's a system you could fix. Obviously, you could try to address that, those things. But you know, it's interesting. You always hear about Jeff Bezos, you know, and Elon Musk. Who even is the CEO of Google?
I don't remember. There's a straight couple up.
A board, obviously. They have a couple of people.
It gets even more interesting when you talk about the fact that Jeff Bezos is not the CEO of Amazon, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
As far as I know.
Well, Elon Musk isn't really the CEO of Tesla or anything either.
Well, he definitely can't be now, right?
Can't be, yeah. He was at one point. He's not anymore. Yes. He's kind of on the board. He's kind of not. Like, that's all convoluted in his company and his things he does. But – and Jeff Bezos isn't the CEO of Amazon. You're right. They go in and out of that kind of stuff. But
right. So, but it's interesting because – Jeff Bezos owns 16% of Amazon, right? He's not the CEO.
Right.
And Jeff Bezos' salary from Amazon is something around $80,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I wonder what the CEO of Amazon's salary is.
Right.
Because I guarantee you it's much, much higher.
Well, so let's talk about like Apple, right? Like Steve Jobs did this thing where he took a dollar for a salary, right?
Yes.
Well, now maybe it would help people understand if they knew what was going on. He didn't really need the salary. Because he's obviously using, just like Jeff Bezos and everyone else in their company, using the company to fund whatever he needed as far as livelihood goes.
Yes.
And that $1 salary doesn't really mean anything to him, right? But he had to do that mm-hmm. because people that don't understand how net worth and everything works like to see that. They think, oh, wow, he's such an amazing guy. You know what I mean? But do they not see the other side of it? Like, do they not immediately think, wait, then how is he living?
How does he have like, all these things?
Right, like, oh, he has a house. Yeah. How the heck does he live?
Right.
And that's the first question that pops in my head, like, wait, if you had a dollar salary, obviously you're not even going to freaking live. So what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, I'm diving in. This is how they're able to have a dollar salary. Just like Donald Trump. He has like a whatever 60 grand salary, whatever it was. He took or no salary. I can't remember which one it was. He decided he's not taking the president's salary, which is actually high. I think it's like 200 something thousand. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yes, but you know that they have to pay for everything like in the White House when they live there. Like they pay for the food and stuff like that.
He already has all these businesses, even if some of them were failed, that have been able to give him what he needs to live, so he doesn't need the freaking presidential salary. Like, same scenario, but he's the president, you know?
Right. Getting into politics can be a little bit more tricky, though, because then you get into, like, lobbying and such, where you like, where does this money really come from, and et cetera, et cetera.
And that that's the system I'm looking at. Like, it's not these billionaires, because they're not really billionaires. It's not the Jeff Bezoses of the world that I'm interested in. Cool. It'd be cool if I was in that position, because I would try to help out. I don't know. I don't know what I would do in this position. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd be same as them. Capitalistic guy trying to make money. That's how I got there. So I'm going to keep doing it. But politics, you're right. Like, no one knows a lot. Like, a lot of it is hidden, and it's that's something that I'm interested in.
From companies.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's the one transaction that we need to look at as far as being on the other person's side that's saying these people have too much money, they need to give it to the poor. That's where I would throw them. Okay, well, then we need to look at this transaction that's happening, companies, politics, or politics and lobbying, or where do they get their money?
Mm-hmm. You
know, it's not necessarily the freaking head of these companies. They're just doing their dang job, still getting paid a normal salary like everyone else.
Right, right. But
and yeah, if those same people created some awesome thing, like they create, you know, Apple, or they do something like that, or they start running a company for somebody all of a sudden, some one day, then their whole mind would change. You know?
You mean the people who are concerned about what they're doing with their money? Oh, yes.
Yes, because at that point, they've created something, and now they're just reaping the benefits. And you know they want to reap the benefits. Like, if you created something so amazing and so, you know, I don't know, spectacular for the society. I don't know if the iPhone is spectacular for society, but whatever.
TikTok,
you'd want to – yeah, wow. holy crap, dude. Honestly, it's entertaining, but that's another subject too. You would want to reap the benefits, man.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, 100%. And then especially if you're in a position like that where you are you're in a position of philanthropy where you can decide where your money goes, right? You may very well come up to the solution that the best thing you can do for society as a whole is to keep reinvesting in your projects that you're investing in, such as SpaceX Tesla 2. I mean, that's good for the environment, et cetera, especially with the solar panels and such.
Right.
But I was going to say Blue Origin.
Right. And you're right about that. Like, if I was in a position, so, you know, I can say this all day long because it is my ultimate goal, is to be in a place, in a position in my life where I can do that. I can supply, you know, either knowledge or money or whatever it is, or create something that helps the entire world. But I'd feel like, I'd be in the same position as they are, where people are blind to that. Mm-hmm. They don't see
the. Well, they haven't lived that. Yeah.
Right. And when we finally get to that point where it's like, well, you know what Blue Origin created? They created the Space Command 3000 that carried 3,000 individuals in it to our station on the moon that houses tons of people and is a whole nother economy. I don't know, whatever.
But you know what you'll hear? You'll hear, but that was Blue Origin, not Jeff Bezos. And then you say the only reason Jeff Bezos is worth that much money is because Blue Origin is worth that much money. And you just end up back at the beginning.
That's exactly what you'll hear, man.
So the interesting thing is that why do people not have a similar opinion on Elon Musk? because he's worth what, 50 something billion? And
yeah,
then Bezos is worth 150 something billion.
Yep.
So maybe there is some merit to the way Bezos is spending his money, but at the same time, why is there that double standard between Musk and Bezos?
I think it all has to do with presentation these days.
PR.
People are so oh my gosh, they go crazy over specific little things that might happen. And I think right. As soon as like Elon Musk smokes weed on Joe Rogan or whatever, in his interview, it's like a defining moment for someone in that position. And you automatically, even if these guys, these potheads out here don't even know what he does, even if they don't even know what the heck electric car is or whatever, they're going to be interested in this guy.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden you have a fan. And I think that swayed literally who was interested in Elon. Like, we're interested in Elon because we know he's a freaking genius as far as like how he's creating all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How he's doing it. Not even the fact that he's doing it. It's how he's gone about just freaking full force. He's head first into all of it. But they're interested in it because of literally presentation.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Who the character of Elon?
Who does he cater to? And is Jeff Bezos anywhere close to that? No, he's a normal like business guy.
He's just your average billionaire.
You could look at the documentary on Jeff and it literally reads, okay, I wanted a bookstore. Boom, bookstore. Okay, e-commerce business. Boom, done. I grew up with this and I had this and I wore suits to do that stuff. And then boom, he owns another business and then it turns into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he has Amazon, he's running this e-commerce. Oh my gosh. Boom. And then he's there and he's still presenting the exact same way he would have, you know? And I think our generation and the, if you quote unquote Zoomers, really, really, really attach to presentation.
Fair enough. It's honestly everything as far as that's concerned on how the sentiment towards you is. Because interestingly enough, like, do you own a Tesla?
No.
No, neither do I. But do you use Amazon?
Yes.
Right. So as far as we're concerned, we have more of a relationship with Bezos than Musk.
And I don't know if I'm one of those guys that attaches to Elon, but I do know why I like Elon. And yeah, it has to do with presentation for sure. Because you're right. I don't own a Tesla. You use Amazon every day, you know. But I also don't necessarily love Google, right? As a whole company. But I know that what they've done is just extravagant, right?
That's true.
So far. So, yeah. And I haven't, that's where I'm going to this is, like I said, I don't know who the heck owns Google. And maybe they want it that way. So they don't have to worry about that presentation. The presentation is Google. It's not Joe Blow or whatever the heck his name would be, the guy that runs it, you know, right. Or the guy that might own 50% of it or whatever. For all we know, what if that was the government that owned 51% of Google? It's not. But
I was going to say we would know, but yeah.
Yeah. At that point you would automatically. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. I guess you'd have to figure out what portion of these companies is owned by the public. But if you're looking at Bezos in particular and you're saying he's too rich because of Amazon and then he owns 16% of Amazon, it makes you kind of curious to see the breakdown of the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that is where, so like when you're looking at a stock, it'll show you, well, some apps, Robinhood doesn't show you this, Fidelity, some other places do. It'll show you institutionalized ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that. I mean, it shows you, it's right there on paper. What percentage of the market cap of this stock is owned by institutions? Mm-hmm. It won't necessarily tell you who until you look at the trade history, right? And you can look at the trade history of the whole stock for however long you want and see who traded what and how many shares they traded. You can see that. SEC mandates it. And so you can see, oh, Zacks Investment Research trades freaking 3 million shares of Amazon, and you know, this place does 5 million shares, and whoever owns it, you can see that. But you can't see who owns or runs that institution.
Right.
And it definitely can go pretty far, I bet. I bet there's rabbit holes. I bet there's rabbit trails like we don't even know, you know.
Yeah. No,
like for all we know, one or a few like state representatives own Zach's Investment Research somehow, or they own some other random institution for trading. Because how the heck do you get a net worth I guess Pelosi it is. She has like a huge net worth. What is it? Millions? Am I right about that?
I don't know exactly, but I think I would not be surprised.
I have it. Well, because I have a guy. So one of my friends is super into politics. I don't normally get that way, but he does bring it out of me. And he was talking about that the other day. He's like, I don't know how these politicians have this net worth. Like, this is their salary. He knows it by, like, this is what they're paid by the government. And then they get this net worth. So it must mean, he's like, so it has to mean somehow they're investing in tons of stock or other companies, you know, or maybe just tons of real estate. He's just like, but I don't see, there's no physical way that this one person could do that. And it's like, he's basically trying to say they're getting money elsewhere. They're getting money for somewhere else to do that. Right. Yeah. Of course. And that's a scary, not scary, but yeah, actually it's scary, but that's a fine line. But for a government agent person, government
servant,
a government servant, to be able to use the government servant position in order to give them more opportunity in their personal life,
personal gain,
for capital gain, personal gain.
Yeah.
Is that a law? No, it's not. I don't think it is anyway.
Maybe
it's straightforward, and it's not like there's loopholes around that.
Oh, it's not straightforward. No,
okay.
You end up with, in the end, your services can be worth whatever someone's willing to pay, though, right? So, from what I understand, there's, you know, the Clintons or something will go on to a speaking event, you know, where they speak for an hour and they get paid X million dollars, and you know, technically they were speaking and this was their rate of pay and they delivered something and it was behind closed doors and nobody filmed it. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing to say that they didn't get paid this money to do the speaking event. But in reality, it seems if you kind of just cut the bullshit for a second there and you say, well, what are they really being paid for? You know, who was paying the money and what decisions were they trying to get made based on that transaction, you know? And the scary thing isn't that the politicians are getting paid for being politicians essentially and having the power to make decisions. The scary thing is that we don't know where the money comes from.
Right.
Because of the way the system is structured and because of Supreme Court rulings. And
I mean, it's like square cash. I tell a guy, yeah, I'm paying you for chips, and actually I'm paying him for rent, and it's not on my, you know, reports. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. Rent is an arbitrary number, but like paying for business, or I'm paying a guy for food and it's actually car repair or something that could be taxed.
Right.
So I'm trying to get at here. Car repair is not one of them. Paying him for a service he gave me. And you just name it something different. What if they're just naming it something different? Oh, it's a speaking event. And there actually was a speaking event and he was there and Clinton was there and he was doing it. But what if – no. It was for that, but also – and we just didn't label it.
There was a wink, wink. Yeah. Boom.
And that's where, it definitely can be scary or whatever. And I think that's what – that is a huge can of worms. I get it. And I think it'll take so long to go through that and figure that out, because you can't blatantly do it. Even if there's a guy out there that knows everything, right? Exhibit A, I guess, would be NSA guy. What's his name?
Snowden.
Snowden. Yeah, David Snowden. If you're that guy, what happened to him? You know, and I know there's different circumstances. I know there's reasons behind why what happened to him but he's treason. But he's not even here anymore. And then what if the same type of person tries to deface where politicians get their money from. Would that be treason? I think it could be considered treason.
I mean, I'm sure anything could be considered treason if they wanted it to be framed in that way.
Right.
The issue being that the laws are structured in a way to protect the anonymity of these companies. So you're not actually breaking laws in the sense of the way they do it is technically legal, right? You would have to change the law structure to remove the anonymity so that people could see where the money was coming from that was going to these politicians, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be step one.
Yeah, we see freaking all these companies. We see their salaries. We see, you know, where they trade, what they do. We see where their money comes from. We see why their net worth is so expensive. But we can't even see why any politician – I don't really even know any politician names. I'm kind of ignorant on that subject – would have the money they have. We can't see that. And it doesn't – it's not technical terms. It's, yeah, he got the money from a speaking event, right? But with a company, it's not that way. Because if the – well, private companies may be different. But with, especially with public companies, SEC is so on top – honestly, they're probably like the most, I don't know, beneficial or necessary government agency for this specific market, you know, because they actually are on top of it very well. And they will track literally every single thing that comes in and out of the market. So if you're a public company – you're watched heavily.
Fair enough.
And you know, the SEC specifically knows, you know, where they get their money. Where is this company getting its money? Where is Jeff Bezos getting this
money?
And yes, you're right. At that point, CPAs step in. And a CPA steps in for taxes, that is. That'd be an IRS thing and runs it. Now, an IRS is not the SEC. IRS is not – they're probably not even that good, you know, as far as SEC goes. So – so the CPA definitely does play a role there at the end of it all and can definitely throw some things under the rug. I get that. It does happen. But up until that point, I feel like it's – you can see it. You know, people can see that. And if we can see that
– if it's in this country.
Ooh.
Which is another thing.
Right. It is. You're right. Yeah. I mean, we have – yes. So if a politician or a company or Jeff Bezos goes to somewhere else and does stuff over there and keeps it out of America, I wonder – yeah, I guess that would be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the problem is the harder you make the tax codes in this country, the more likely companies with people worth their wage will take it out of this country or to offshore accounts or such like that. So you never really know where the money's coming from, where it's going, or where it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've made a lot of progress on those sort of things, like Swiss banking laws and like locking down on accounts in like Luxembourg or Switzerland, things like that. That's actually improved in the past 2 decades.
Right. It's just the fact that it does take that long to improve it. And it's not even their fault. Like, I think it actually might take that long to like get everything in place and like figure out how you're going to do it. And then like, okay, let's go ahead and move forward with this. And without making it seem like, I don't know, too communistic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Not just laying down all these freaking laws all at once. Just bam, 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 bam. You know, I think we have a regulation for that. Like checks and balances, I think, would even make that hard, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely hard to change any government, especially when you are a government trying to work with another government to change a global economy, you know? There's a lot of moving parts. And you're right. You have to be careful not to infringe on freedoms when you do this. So, as you were saying about, you can't just drop all these laws because you want to, because there is a certain level of privacy and freedom that people are entitled to.
Right.
The question is, are certain privacies causing more harm than good? And are we comfortable giving up the anonymity of these corporate these corporate financial institutions directing money into different politicians' pockets in the name of the greater good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So on the topic of net worth, I mean, that's where it ends up. Cause yeah. You have, you know, I mean, the money flow, you know, money trail. What, I mean, it's just look at the money trail to know that someone is not rich, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, mm-hmm. that's what people need to do.
They themselves may not have any money.
Right.
Like I saw an article that was saying that even though Elon Musk is worth X number of billion dollars, he still has, you know, $500 million in personal loans to pay for everything, like his rent and such, or even to put back into SpaceX and Tesla. So yeah, he's in debt. And I mean, it keeps going up and up and up the levels. Like if you look at this nation, a lot of people would make the argument that this is one of the wealthiest nations in the world, if not the wealthiest, right? Mm-hmm. But then you look at the debt of the nation and you say, how can you be wealthy and also be in this kind of debt?
Because and that's the thing, is like assets, liabilities, where we have more assets that cover our liabilities. Simple as that. That though we have more assets than the liabilities,
right?
And this always comes up too when we're talking about, like, whenever you talk to someone about buying a house, like, really, buying a house doesn't usually pan out, you know, until 30 years, 40 years. It's insane, dude. And you're like, you know, that's a liability. Like, you buying a house is a liability. Now you have 150, 200, 300 grand in debt.
Mm-hmm. I have to explain this to people a lot,
and you're not, that's not helping your net worth, that's not really helping your wealth either. Now, right. 30 years down the road, you'll have an asset. Cool.
Well, you know? if it's a choice between having your money in a savings account and having it in a home is not a bad bet, just in the simple sense that a home gives you somewhere to live, and it will, that money, that mortgage payment is not going to increase as long as it's a fixed rate. It's not going to increase over time while inflation is going to be basically decreasing
right.
the value relative to your income.
You're right. I mean, that is a good point. You're right. And as far as savings accounts go, yeah, it's the home is the probably one of the best savings accounts. And as who we are, you know, I always compare it to freaking investing, which, you know, mm-hmm. is whatever, but I'm like, dude, you can just invest that. I mean,
yes.
The thing is that it definitely depends on who you're talking to, right? So like my friends that are married and they bought a house and they have a dog and they're about to have kids, I get it. You have to have a house. But do not tell me, don't come up at me like, you know, this is the smartest decision I ever made. That's not how that works. You bought a house because you needed a house. And yeah. That is good enough. That is right. good enough. You can say that to me and I'll say, yes, you're right. Definitely needed that.
Right.
But trying to put all of it, everything on top of it, like, you know, oh yeah, I've invested. I bought a house. Okay, man. Not, yes, you have, but that's not exactly, anyway, whatever. Yeah. You know how it is. It's like, man.
I 100% understand it. And I think it's just a difference in the honesty of what people want. So if you're going to say, if you're going to justify buying a home by this is an asset and I'm going to make returns on it, then you're just lying to yourself. If you really need to say, I bought a home because, you know, I needed a home.
Right.
And it made sense. And then you say, cool, man, that's great. I'm happy for you. But don't say you should buy a home because I bought a home. And the only thing a home and a mortgage is an investment for is a bank.
All right, ladies and gents, that's about it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed my talk with Max. It was a little bit of a Zoom call, so because we're all out here quarantining. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good week, and thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Oh, yeah, and stay toasty.